Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew from high school were posting things that were factually in error, and they enjoyed doing that, and that's what Facebook was for them. And Facebook for me was correcting people and telling them, no, you've got it wrong, which they didn't like, and told me I was doing it wrong. Part of this is also to follow through with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under most social media that way. I was born to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed and a little chilly atheist. We are expect to have possibly a couple of people popping back in tonight. Things are a little bit on the weird side, but even so, let's get your introduction started. North of me, over into Ontario in Canada. Good morning, heretic woman.
Good morning. You're chilly. I got the woolly sweater on because I was too fucking cold for anything else. And yes, it's power of 10, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So, yes, I am in the rather frigid and snow-covered Ontario. I came from the United Church of Canada, started out there, which is pretty liberal as far as churches go. But my stupid teenage move was to join a Calvinist sect. I don't recommend it, not very fun. But I've been an atheist for 26 years now. Much better on that side of things. And I spend as much time as I can forwarding reason, rationality, free thinking, and harassing fundamentalists wherever I can find them.
Okay. Just as an aside, by the way, this kind of is still going on at the moment. I don't know if it's some kind of auto limiter that's going on, but it's not quite as clear as you typically are. So might want to just double check and make sure that you don't have anything going on like that for yourself.
I have something, but it hasn't been adjusted. So.
All right. We'll see how that plays out in a couple moments. Moving south and to the west, into the U.S. Midwest. Good evening for you, Bridget.
Good evening. I'm Bridget Fitch. I was born and raised in the South. That's where I get the accent from, and relocated to the Midwest. I grew up in Church of Christ, which is a lot stricter than even the Southern Baptist, and finally got away from religion in 2003 after a lot of back and forth. And now I'm an activist against theocracy and patriarchy and all that stuff.
Yeah, we're going to hit on that in a couple of minutes. Moving to the right across the map into the armpit of the capital. Good morning, Unrenowned Tech.
Hi. We're on a Power of 10 episode, right?
Yes, so fuck you too.
Great. Yeah, Google, Chrome fucking sucks. So does Hangouts. Call Microsoft, find out how they did Skype, and copy that, okay? Because that works.
I completely agree.
Jesus Christ.
Microsoft.
It's fucking cold here.
God damn. Anyway, I'm an atheist. I also am partially an antitheist, because I think all organized religions need to go the way of the dodo, buried up to their head in sand and extinct. I was born into a mixed religious background, practiced several religions, studied a couple others, and came to the conclusion that they're all full of shit. And if you don't believe me, look at the world around you. You know, it really is. They're all full of shit.
Moving across the water, over to England. Good morning, Chris.
good morning, Shijin. It's great to be here again. I'm Chris. I'm currently based in the north of England, where I'm working in tech support. I was raised vaguely a Catholic, but it never really took. And I've always been an atheist with a strong interest in science. And... That's about all, I think.
Good enough.
Now, have you tried turning it off and on again?
I do that frequently.
Great. Now if we could just turn off Legion, we'd be great.
Great. We'll see about that. Let's finish this off.
Folks, I'm having tequila tonight. Can you tell?
Crap.
Not yet, but I suspect we will.
Yeah.
And moving south through the channel, let me at least get the intros done, would you? God damn it. Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning. My name's Joseph. I think for myself, and I want you to, too.
Excellent. And apparently, I may have been somewhat mistaken. Generally speaking, from the Pittsburgh area, Joey, are you actually here? Okay, funny enough, Joey apparently just popped into the hangout. Don't have any video, don't have any audio, it would seem.
Hey, you know, Jesus has the same problem.
No, no, performance issues were never Jesus' problem.
Well, none of it was properly recorded in document.
Are you saying it's hereditary?
You know, he might be the reincarnation of Jesus. I mean, think about it. He's been through more. He's died more times than Jesus and come back from it.
Well, if he's Jesus, then there's an aunt and uncle looking for the third party to their marriage somewhere.
Well, keep that in mind. Anyway.
He might have been involved. You never know.
He might have been.
All right. So, as always, everybody, thank you very much for taking the time to be watching and listening. If you're watching and listening live with us right now via Google Hangouts, please, by all means, take advantage of the question and answer system. We'll be more than happy to answer stuff and accept criticisms and commentary, because we have every intention of having people be really, really upset tonight. Power of 10 episodes are unsafe for work. If you haven't already known about it, then thank you for listening here as your first stop for the show. Otherwise, really quickly, Beth, good morning. We see you over there. How are you doing? Renee, see you as well. And yes, the crap crew is ready to get things started over here. However, as is customary at the moment, I will get things started with your five-minute freestyle with apologies to Noah, Heath, and Lucinda from The Scathing Atheist. Your 5 minutes start right now. The title that I gave for you now is Order Up, which if you worked in a diner is typically what you would hear from the kitchen when they say, okay, your order is ready to go. It's up on the window, ready for you to take it over there. Why do I remember this? I remember this because of a musical group by the name of Stomp. If you've never heard of Stomp, you should probably check them out sometime. Just the way that you'd expect it to be spelled, only with an exclamation point. It's a theater production.
Oh, no. Oh,
sorry. Very good.
Wrong one.
I digress, however. In this particular case, the order is not about food. The order at this point is about Canada. Yes, for a change, the U.S. guy is going to go ahead and make mention about Canada. In this case, the order is specifically the Order of Canada. For those of you that are unaware of it, and I will admit that I was as well, the Order of Canada is the highest, is the second highest order that can be provided to the citizens of Canada, second only to membership in the Order of Merit, which is within the personal gift of Canada's monarch. Meaning you got to be doing something exceptionally, exceptionally special to get presented this. And what was just announced just in the last couple of days, two very special recipients will be gaining this honor. The first of which, close warm personal friend of the show, astronaut. Yes, astronaut Chris Hadfield is going to be receiving this honor. You would know him very especially from his time spent on the International Space Station and doing a music video from there, as well as doing a second one as a collaboration between himself and some of the guys from Bare Naked Ladies. And it was a really, really special moment. But here's the special part. One of the most prominent scientists and astronauts is gaining the honor, but also along with him is a gentleman by the name of Rick Mercer. We've talked about Rick before in glowing ways, but this is from the announcement that Rick Mercer is going to be getting this award. Quote, "His ability to inspire and challenge Canadians through humor and for his leadership in support of charitable causes." How wonderful for someone like him to be able to get this. A comedian, somebody whose job is to make people laugh, to make them think. If you remember from Mel Brooks' movie, History of the World, Part 1, which, yes, we're still waiting for Part 2, and you better get to it before you get dead. Even you can't live 2,000 years.
We might have a Part 3 before Part 2.
In any case, we heard back in the ancient times that Mel Brooks was supposed to be a stand-up philosopher. And some of the best comedians are exactly that. Take the bullshit out for a second. A stand-up philosopher is an amazing job. You make people think. You throw a comedic ground, comedic grenade at people's feet. You throw it out there, and for a couple of seconds, you don't know, do you laugh or do you cringe? Do you find something humorous, or do you find something that makes you want to change the world? Rick Mercer is brilliant, scathing, funny, thought-provoking, and a great human. Some of the stuff that he's done in the past is going out there and just spending a day with people, just normal, average, everyday people that do otherwise unnatural things. You can find him doing all kinds of things on his show, The Rick Mercer Report, out of CBC. Yes, it's a plug. But one of my favorite things that he ever did was something called Talking to Americans. And if you go looking up some of those videos on YouTube, you will see how amazing it is. When Rick Mercer came down and he said to some woman, "What do you think of the statistic that at least 87% of all high school level students in Canada cannot identify their home state on a map?" Only to be told by someone who couldn't have been any more than 11 years old here in the U.S., interrupting the mother who was on a tirade about how stupid it is and how bad the public system of schooling should be in Canada, to simply say, "They don't have states in Canada, they have provinces." Congratulations, Mr. Mercer. Congratulations, Mr. Hadfield. You deserve it. Enjoy.
I'd also like to point out that the other honoree, Guy Gabriel Kay, is a fucking awesome sci-fi writer who I met in university as well.
This is true. And I mean no disrespect by leaving him off in particular. It's just a matter of that when I found out about Rick Mercer specifically getting this honor, I thought this was just badass, especially if you consider the, you know, along with a freaking astronaut, a comedian and an astronaut getting the second highest honor in Canada. That was too delicious. And full disclosure, I have Dallin to thank for pointing me over to that. So Dallin, thank you very much. And if you would like to drop in some applause for yourself in post, go right ahead. You deserve it. Although you're not here right now, fuckface. Why not? What the hell? I sent you messages. Where the fuck are you? Really? Dude? Whatever. In any case, let's see how things are going at the moment. Joey, I show a big black screen with your kind of logo there. Are you actually there? Only just barely.
Yeah, barely.
Can you put the microphone up to your mouth instead of up your anus?
There is no microphone to put to my mouth, you freaking zealot. I'm on a laptop.
Okay.
Oh, well, speak louder.
Yeah, that's not going to help too very much. Short version, Joe, at the moment we have basically just black video from you. Your audio is there, but very, very, very background-ish. Are you... Where are you at the moment?
I'm at a Tim Hortons.
Way cool! Go Tim!
Yeah.
Well, which would... Sujin, don't you have the capability on your side to up his volume?
He does. It doesn't usually help a whole lot, but...
Yeah, and to be perfectly frank, Tech, if I was going to go ahead and up his, I'd up yours too. So it's not really going to be very much of a help. You're welcome.
Would you mute him?
I could do that.
Hey, but I'm not. I happen to like 7-Up, okay?
So is Joey in Canada somewhere if he's at a Tim Hortons?
No, there's a Tim Hortons in Pennsylvania.
Oh. I'm not in Pennsylvania.
Yes, so where are you at the moment?
Bumfuck nowhere, Ohio. I was sent to answer your question.
Good enough, actually. That's about as accurate as it's going to be. All right, so that being the case, then obviously you can't really talk up very much further than what you are.
No.
If yeah, and all things considered, if you want to just turn off the camera, that's fine too, because you've got, you know, it's basically just one big black mosh for the time being.
I don't know why. I mean, it was working fine earlier, and now suddenly it's not.
Don't know. But in any case, quite all right. So let's get things started, and we'll try to work this as best we can. I don't know how that's exactly going to work out, but Joe, if worse comes to worse, if I don't hear you trying to interrupt, just... You know, just type something up into the thing, and we'll see how it's going over there.
Hey, we've got Heathen in the house. Hey, Heathen.
Yep. See you over there. For those that are listening, Seathen Heathen just showed up. How you all doing? I'm trying to figure out if that's actually grammatically correct. You know what? I'm not going to be that dick. We're doing good. As far as I can tell, for the most part, anyway. So, good to have you over here. And, sorry, excuse me. This thing that I had in my throat apparently is starting to kind of come back a little bit. So, again, I may have to mute myself and cough and whatnot.
Don't
but...
comment as to what you had in your throat.
Or what his name was.
I got nothing. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Jake Forwarden, of course, long time viewer of the show, our only Patreon subscriber. No, he's not. I know your pain now. I will try to be nice the next time I'm on your show. No, not a little bit. All right, so. Show title, Billions Upon Billions Served. And yes, I actually did put out in the announcement what it's all about, Alfie. And what it's all about is nothing short of disgusting. And I say that with no reservation whatsoever as someone who used to be part of the Roman Catholic family. Yay. For those of you that are a little bit unaware, earlier this week, Hemet Mehta from the Patheos blog had put out a little blurb, and if you want to read the article for yourself, it's in the show notes already, about how some folks went and did a little bit of surveying and statistics and did up some numbers and tried to figure out, since 1950, How much money has the Holy Roman Catholic Church had to put out, yes, I'm using that term for a reason, for restitution or cover-up money or whatever, legal fees, whatever, because of the various sex scandals that they've had since 1950? A conservative estimate, best guess, puts it at approaching $4 billion U.S. Let me put that to you again. $4 billion, Carl Sagan billion dollars U.S. as a conservative guess and estimate at this time. If this in and of itself does not horrify and disgust people, something is really fucking wrong with your priorities, because that number is, to use a meme, too goddamned high. And Chris, I'm going to throw it over to you first, because when we talk about the Roman Catholic family, I don't pull you in often enough on this one. So your opinion, Chris, as one of the other people who was ostensibly Catholic at one point, what should that number be?
that number, if the Catholic Church had been doing its job of safeguarding its members and having any kind of proper oversight and control and any integrity in reporting things to authorities, and not going out of its way to provide priests with opportunities to rape and torture as many kids as they wanted to, that number should be considerably lower. This is a conservative estimate, and there are a number of things that they've actually not included. I've not seen the full details of there, but realistically, it's going to be massively higher.
Yes, but I guess the I'll come back around to this in just a second. Joey, we can't actually see you at this point. I don't know what your poll started, but there you are.
I didn't touch anything. I did not touch anything. I have no idea what is going on.
I can't see video on for him. I can just see the picture, default profile picture.
That's going to be you then, because I see him. Because he just said you're shitty or something.
Yeah, and Joey, I just tried to boost your audio a little bit. I don't know if it's going to help at all, but...
Well, there's only so close I can get to the microphone. Your next
Okay, the headset that you've got over there, the microphone on that doesn't work, I'm assuming.
There is no microphone.
Okay, never mind then. All right, we'll have to do what we can. While Joey ends up talking, I think we're all basically just going to have to mute out our mics so we don't cover them up, because it's so low.
I will just type it out and you can read.
Or can be my, or can I can...
audio, bitch.
Fuck me. It was coming too. Man. All right. That's fair. That's fair. We can do that. Anyway.
Well, see, what you do is, if you're in a restaurant, they obviously have paper towels. Get a used paper towel tube, okay, and put one end of it towards the little hole in the laptop where the microphone is, and put the other end up to your lips and blow.
Dude, really, we don't, in public, put anything with little holes in. Joey, really, now is not the time to be doing that. You're welcome. Sooner or later, hey, we're going to get you to have stuff come out of your face. You know that.
If he doesn't have something, you know, got to MacGyver that shit, right?
You have to beat him up, and I don't care.
That's fair enough. Anyway, the reason why I was wanting to ask you what that number should be, and I know the answer is going to be completely obvious once it comes out there. Who wants a real quick one before I have to pop over for Deb for the actual?
I enjoy a good quickie. Go ahead.
Going to be one of those nights.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be one of those nights.
Yes, it is.
Okay. The answer that I was actually looking for, believe it or not, what should that number be? That number should be zero. That number should always be zero.
Why? Because of the pedophilia or the murder or the rape or the, you know, genocide or, I mean, what reason?
They should not be diddling kitties.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, and I don't like having to say this, but it should be zero. Realistically, for any organization of that scale, it's not going to be zero because in any organization large enough, it's likely that you'd have one or two evil people work their way in somehow. But the point is that they should be found, caught, and booted out passed over to the authorities as quickly as possible. So and it's not like the Catholic Church just paid out any of this money willingly.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Well, don't forget, they do all these wonderful works, like giving Bibles to starving people.
What's the calorie content of a Bible again?
I'm sorry, tonight is extreme sarcasm mode.
It might make halfway decent kindling, I suppose, but that onion paper.
You could cook some food if you actually came across to me.
Well, no, that onion paper shit's gonna burn up like a fucking, you know.
Yeah, that would.
But the cover may end up, you know, giving off some toxic smoke.
If you get one of the expensive ones with like the really heavy cardboard, or if an old one, there might actually be wood in the cover. You might get lucky that way.
Yeah, if you've got something to cook on it, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I was thinking more of warmth, but yeah.
Sorry, I have to do this, and I know I'm gonna get shit for it later. But Joey, only because you would know this one almost as well as I would. So, technically speaking, then the modern Bibles are currently printed on what would otherwise be referred to as whisper thin shit tickets, aren't they?
Pretty much.
Sorry, this is a little bit of an inside joke.
Yes, I know exactly where you're going with that. And by the way, you violated the list again.
Yes, I did.
I think we took that one off the list because it's just too fun to say.
It could very well be. The show that Joey Dallin and I do on Friday night, we have the list. The list of things you're not allowed to say anymore. And I don't know. It's been revised several times.
It's like, here, look at my butt.
I was going to say, that's a cat's ass. What do you know?
The worst part of my situation is that I am currently out in public in my hometown on a Power of 10 show, and I have to watch my language. Otherwise,
yes.
I would be commenting on someone showing something on camera.
Would that be a big hairy pussy?
She's actually really small. She weighs about 7 pounds. She's not anywhere as big as Kitty Cow.
You are not helping matters whatsoever. You know that.
Well, did you notice that we just witnessed someone get licked by a pussy? That doesn't happen very often. I'm just saying.
And the worst part of all, I can't smoke here either.
Oh.
That's all right. I'll have one for you, Joe.
Oh, me too.
I think everybody should keep a Bible in the bathroom just in case they run out of toilet paper.
It's a nightmare.
If you get a paper cut, man, that's gonna hurt and probably never stop bleeding.
If you attempt that, you're going to end up with only one outcome: shitter's clogged.
So
stigmata of the ass, yeah.
Back on topic.
See, I use the Gideon Bible in the hotels all the time.
It's only because they're free. Back onto topic here. The sex scandals with the Catholic Church. I want to touch on the first piece here, which is, what if it's wrong? Now, I want you guys to just think about this one a second. What if that number is wrong?
Oh, good. You were talking about the money. I thought you were talking about what if fondling children was wrong. I was like, it's not.
No, here's the problem. And, oh, this is going to be so much of a pain in the ass for everybody. And I'm not saying that glibly. What if the number is wrong? What if the number is completely wrong? And I'm not saying that it's a gross understatement. What if the estimate is just wrong in and of itself? How horrible, would it be to look at this number of $4 billion and think, you know what, it's wrong, but it's believable?
Well, Trump is wrong, but according to some people, he's believable.
I found out something a few weeks ago that's kind of disturbing. I was talking to an LCSW who does counseling, and the church was supposed to pay for counseling for abuse victims, and he has four patients that were going to therapy, and then the church just said, well, we're not going to pay for any more, and just cut off payment.
Wow.
And they still need the therapy.
Yeah.
What kind of rationale was she going to church?
She didn't. I think this is why the researchers left out some types of costs and payments, because it looks like they've been, from what I understand, going off of like court records and stuff of payments. So the number looks to be fairly sound and should be checkable. I'm not sure. I've not seen a fact check on it yet, though.
No, me neither. And I will admit, I've been a little bit busy and a little bit sleep deprived for a little while, so I didn't get the chance to really go through the numbers myself and check over all the stuff. So did I not do due diligence? Sadly, unfortunately, I tried. Just got a huge test pattern still running across the inside of my brain sometimes. For those of you who remember what the test patterns actually look like. Mm-hmm. But the idea that $4 billion, even if it's leaving stuff out, that's an exorbitant amount of money, and the idea that maybe they're completely wrong, but that is a completely believable outcome right now, that was a horrible idea that popped into my head, too. Because, you know, I try to vet information as best I can, even if it's, you know, wrong still. But the idea that we could look at this number and we could actually accept it without... And think, well, yeah,
it's easy to accept. It really is easy to accept because we're very aware, thanks to our interconnected communications, that the churches, while they're technically, they're supposed to be filling out the same tax deductible, tax-free forms. I forget the form number. But any organization, basically, it sounds like the right form. But any organization that's supposed to be tax-free, a religious organization that's tax-free, that does charitable things with the money that they receive, like churches are supposed to do, they're supposed to fill out the form and submit it to the IRS. We know from various churches who have created videos and sent those videos to the IRS and then told the news, their local news agencies about it, that they have sent video messages to the IRS saying, we're not doing this. And on top of that, we're also breaking the law by advising our flock, our sheep, the herd, that on political topics and how to vote and shit like that, that they're not supposed to be fucking doing. And go ahead and try to audit us. We dare you.
Yeah,
and they don't do it.
Yeah, and that there's a piece here in the U.S. that has said that the amount of money that in tax revenue that is held out for religious organizations, not talking about the Holy Roman See right now, but just all churches, is a significant millions, if not billions of dollars. I've forgotten off the top of my head what it is.
70 billion per annum, I believe.
17 billion.
70, I thought it was more like
74
billion, I thought.
Yeah, you may have some more up-to-date estimates than me on that.
Let's call it like it is. There are some churches that when they get their money from wherever they get it from, they do good things. They open up soup kitchens. They do, buy clothes for people. They help people with their car payments so they can keep their job, or they help them, get their groceries, little things. Yes, there are plenty of churches that do that. But the problem is it's usually the little church that doesn't really have a roof over their head. They have leaks in it. They have, they don't have anybody who can help maintain the building, little things like that. The churches that receive millions and millions and millions of dollars, whether that be on a monthly basis or yearly basis, they're putting that money into their speakers and their projectors and their wall-to-wall surround sound systems. Those people need to be shut the fuck down.
Virtually all those things you've listed are one-off investments that they've already paid for. Most of this money is just disappearing into God knows where.
Well, look at those.
Because there's no transparency or accountability on where that money is actually going.
Well, look at those mega mansions that they don't have to pay taxes on because of a ministerial housing allowance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the same ones who are making the mega churches with the big wall-to-wall surround sound systems and the big huge projectors and. You see where I'm going with this?
Yep, we'll get to that. Bridget, you had something you were going to get saying.
Well, there's a couple of things. Actually, the figures that I was able to find is it would bring in between $71 billion to $86 billion a year in revenue, which is a lot of money. The other thing, I don't understand how the parishioners... they're having to pay for this, and I don't understand why they're still, staying and contributing to the church after all this. Why?
Fear.
Well, I mean, wouldn't they be better going to, like, an Episcopalian church or something? I could not associate with, I could not stay in a religion that did that.
Well, that's a different thoughts and not really a... if they're not doing that out of rationality.
And a lot of times they may believe that that particular religion is correct, but the excuse I keep hearing as well, religion is perfect, but people aren't. So they just think, well, there's a bad egg or two in our particular church, but it's not really bad, and we'll just, we'll stay and hope that that God will change their hearts and all that kind of bullshit.
Yeah, but when the bishops are covering up and sending, priests from one parish to another parish, I mean, that's...
usually that kind of stuff doesn't make it into the bubble.
Exactly. Your average parishioner would not know. All they would see is that, there was some trouble with Father Jones, and now Father Jones is not here, so that means that, you know, Bishop so-and-so was protecting us and it's all good. So, you know, they would never know that they just schlepped Father Jones off on some remote South American diocese that's, you know, riddled with orphan children and kind of, you know, a lot of these guys were practically rewarded when you think of where they got sent.
Yeah. Now, there's something that was put over into the Q&A, and by the way, Joey, yeah, no, gotcha. Beth had put this into the Q&A, and I feel bad for you over there, Joey. Sorry to hear that. Joey's letting us know about the weather report out over where he is in bumfuck nowhere at the moment. Anyway, Beth is saying, because the mentality the church passes down is one of victim shaming and a money grab on the victim's part, and that is disgusting. And to me, because Christianity in general, I'm not going to say every one of them, but I'm going to say in general, although I'm really saying 100%, in general, is all about broken people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are broken from before you were born in the book of life. You were written because you goddamn women who couldn't leave well enough alone and had to go ahead and test for yourself whether things were actually good or bad. The fuck is wrong with you? Oh, yeah, go back a couple of episodes. I forget when it was. Eve, first scientist, first skeptic.
Yep.
There you go. Congratulations. I wonder how the Church of I wonder how the Satanic Temple would take to that one, by the way.
See, I think that's why so many Christians out there, you know, they validate raping their wives, you know, because they understand that, you know, it's women's fault that they're all suffering. So, you know, it's okay.
Oh, yeah. But then again, if you listen to Mother Teresa, suffering is a virtue.
Actually, oh, that fucking bitch.
Yeah, I don't listen to her anymore because now all she says is...
or whatever the sound of rotting flesh might be.
Hey, Mother Teresa, the only thing you've done good so far is the fact that you're dead and feeding the worms.
Fucking right.
Even that. For those of you that don't know, yeah, we hold Mother Teresa in very high regard as fertilizer. And that's really pretty much it right now.
We're hoping to add to that fertilizer patch with Pat Robertson, except that motherfucker just won't die. Every time I see an article saying that he's dead, I was like, please don't be a hoax. Please don't be a hoax. And then it's a fucking hoax.
You know what we need? Hold on. What we need a pool right now, not a dead pool. We need a pool to try and figure out who's going to die first. Follow
That's
the
a
other
dead pool.
No. Is it going to be Pat Robertson or Abe Vigoda?
Pat Robertson's too able to die. It seems like the able ones hang on a lot longer.
Yeah,
but Abe Vigoda has proven several times over he can be announced as dead and still come back.
Yeah, yep. But Pat Robertson has so much money that if there's any, you know, any good treatments, he will have access to them.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, that Jesus helps the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yet, for some reason, the faithful need doctors and vaccines. And medical science advancements and, you know, things like advancements in food sanitation and preparation and farming. And yet, you know, it's all because of their faith. It's like, no, you're just a fucking idiot.
Yeah, and now that Joey has stepped back over to his machine and he can hear us again, Joey, just that you could hear it, We're going to be starting a pool of sorts, maybe not exactly a dead pool, but a pool nonetheless, to try and figure out, stop. No Guardian of the Galaxy references right now. We need to find out who's going to die first, Pat Robertson or Abe Vigoda?
I don't know. Abe is still hanging in there. I mean, he managed Good Burger.
And, you know, he may have survived a mob hit, too, but that's just movies, whatever the hell. Anyway.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. May I take your order?
I can't feel my ass.
You know what? If you can't do it, I'm not going to even help you out on this one. That's not nothing to do with it. So there's money that is not being collected as far as taxes are concerned for churches in general. $70-ish billion dollars. And yet this guesstimate of $4 billion since 1950, that's since 1950. Now, the number that you guys are pulling up right now of the 70-ish billion dollars, is that per year?
Yes.
So let's put this in perspective for a second. It's churches, and let's guesstimate that of roughly $70 billion. Let's guesstimate that the Roman Catholic Church here in the United States accounts for, let's say, just for argument's sake, let's say half. I know it's probably not, but let's say, for example, that it's half of all churches. It can't possibly be, but
yeah,
half.
It can't because 30. Mormons the largest.
No. I got you. But
32%. Something
okay.
Like that.
Okay.
So call it 20. Let's call it 20 billion for the Catholic Church if they're about a third of it.
So yeah, that's the Catholic Church. Maybe as a guesstimate. 20-ish billion dollars a year in tax deferment or tax waiving or whatever you want to call it. It's money that they don't have to pay. And truth be told, after hearing somebody's rant about, I don't want the church to be taxed because that means that they're not supposed to be part of the whole governmental thing, because when they are taxed, then that's the whole reason for why we broke away from England, because then they would have to have representation, and nobody wants that, or at least those of us that believe in the First Amendment to the Constitution, but be that as it may.
I take issue with that as well, because it's not like that they don't have representation now. So, if they've got de facto got representation, you might as well get the money for it.
There's something to be said for that.
But on the other hand, with them getting politically involved like they are, then they should lose their tax exempt status. Yeah.
Yes.
And I would agree. I would very highly agree. And anybody who follows logic in any way, shape, or form should be able to figure this out. It's a simple if-then. You follow the rules, then you don't have to pay taxes. If you don't, then you do. It's actually a pretty simple, straightforward system. I mean, shit, you can program that kind of stuff in Minecraft, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing is, I think that they should definitely be held, even if it was decided to continue their tax-exempt status, that they should have to file tax returns in the same way as any other charity or organization. And that information should be available, if not publicly, then at least to the various authorities concerned, so there is some visibility on where these and this number of 70 billion is for the US alone. Worldwide, it's going to be massively more on there. So, but largely, there is no idea where this money is going.
Just a side question. Isn't it possible to determine the destination of, like, somebody who files a tax return? They declare exemption because they gave to a charity. Wouldn't it be able to... Can't we detect from that end of the the game?
Not everyone would file a tax exemption.
If you don't pay taxes, you have to, instead of paying taxes, you're giving to a charity. And you have to be able to prove that you actually gave that money to the charity. And that's the, losing my English, contribuable, the taxpayer. It's the taxpayer to give that sort of information. Yeah, so normally that type of data should be available.
But if I donate money to a charity, it's very rare, I don't fill in, as an employee here, I don't fill in an individual tax return there as well. Done from my employer. So if I were to give £100 to a charity, I may possibly use a gift aid so they would get a tax back on it. But I wouldn't need to account for that in tax-wise at all.
So you could basically just say you're giving to a charity, and that's it?
No, I wouldn't even ask the question.
Yeah, well, over here, if it's more than $250, you have to have proof and receipts. But if it's under $250, they don't ask for that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would only need to evidence that if I wanted to claim the tax benefits back. If I just said, I can't be asked, the amount's too small or the paperwork's too much hassle, then it doesn't matter, because I don't have to publish my I don't have to fill in any tax returns over here. And again, if it's probably fairly similar. I'm not familiar with the US things, but if you were putting, say, like $5 in a collection plate or something like that every week, you may not even think to claim that back on your tax.
Well, you wouldn't, because there's a minimum amount that you want to be donating to make it worth your while to claim on your taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way the tax laws are is basically, unless you're donating a certain amount every year, you're not going to reap the benefits. And to be able to reach some of those numbers, you've got to be donating a lot of money. I mean, you've got to be one of these people that earn like a lot and then give a good chunk of it to get the money back.
Hmm. Yep, and that brings off a couple of pieces, and we're going to see about touching on a couple of them. But there's a couple of items that came up in the Q&A I want to make sure that we hit at this point. First of which is from Beth, again, who said they don't think what they are doing is wrong. Children are property, even to this day. Making reference specifically to, in this case, the sexual abuse of... I don't want to say children, even though it is technically correct, because it runs the gambit from infancy through young teens and even into just crossing over into adulthood, some who have been abused
years. Adults and other vulnerable people as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, and women, I mean, they're held in such low regard anyway. Tertullian had an awesome quote about that.
Mm.
Woman is a temple built over a sewer.
Mm.
I love that. That's very inspirational, you know?
There is the comedian's joke about, and Neil deGrasse Tyson has made reference to it, that, you know, an amusement park built right next to a sewage treatment center. And, you know,
from a biological angle, though, which is very different from what...
The thing is, no one asks who put the sewer there in the first place.
Thank you. And by the way, Joey had made reference over here and had said that... The his church, in this case, the Lapsed Church of the Holy Mamre, does pay its taxes, so is a good organization and a good citizen, basically. So, congratulations to the Lapsed Church of the Holy Mamre. So, I forget what the invocation is, but tits be with you as well.
And also with you.
Yeah,
oh, he said something.
Yeah, say it again, Joe. Or maybe not. You can just type it out, and I'll go ahead and announce it for you. But, sorry. I couldn't get to the mute button quick enough. Mm. I might have accidentally closed the Hangout if I hit the wrong button over there, and I've done that before, and it's not pretty.
So am I. It sucks.
Yeah. Ah, there it is. So, the invocation for the lapsed... Wow. Sorry, this is really getting on my nerves. So, the invocation for the Lapsed Church of the Holy Mamre is as follows. In the name of the left breast, the right, and the holy cleavage, tits be with you. So, you can use that invocation anytime you people want. That's good enough for you, Joseph? There you go. He's pleased enough. He's got his Timmy Hortons. And it's a red Timmy cup over there, too. So
no, they're all, it's brown. They all look like that.
It's a muddy color. Just let it go. Just don't even. Any opportunity to piss off Fierstead is good by me. Don't start.
A quick thing.
Joseph, just a quick suggestion that this is a Power of Ten show. I think you should change your gesture from that to...
And interesting thing, in the United States, Tim Hortons is called a cafe and bakery, which it definitely is not here. I just find that amusing.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll see how that plays out. But to go along with that, where is this? This episode brought to you by Tim Hortons and the letter V. V for cleavage. What? No. So... John, who is also watching, and also thank you very much for that, has also dropped in here, although I'm not entirely certain that I've got the answer that you're thinking of. I've got one of these weird perspectives. John's question is, what should be the true meaning of money? Now, that might sound to be a bit of a non sequitur, but I have, of course, as usual, my weird twist on questions like this. So anybody want to have fun with that one?
It's a form of bartering that's lightweight.
It requires probably a smaller wallet than chickens.
That too.
And mine's made out of plastic, so if you accidentally wash it, you're still okay. But sure. Watch it in the dryer because they've been known to melt.
Ditto with Australian currency, come to think of it.
Yep.
But that's a whole other thing. My, you know what, before I finish, Chris or Tech, did either one of you guys want to make like a reference on this one before I drop my thing in there?
That's too big, really.
It's too big a question, and it's something that I'm would like to probably study up on a bit.
Well, if we didn't have money, what would you put in a G-string for, you know, exotic dancers?
Me?
Well, see, what you do is you spread the butt crack and you just swipe the credit card down it.
I thought you were going to say that's where you shove the toonies and loonies, but okay.
It's another good reason for not using chickens.
Yeah.
Hey, just remember, when you use a feather, that's sensual. But when you use a whole chicken, that's
key. Not to mention the whole avian flu thing. Well, nobody needs to be playing around with that. What should be the true meaning of money? Here's my take on it. I'm not sure, but I sure as fuck don't want the true meaning of money to be additional vocal power.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's been very important to me. I don't want money to equate out to somebody has an unfair advantage for getting their word out to people. That's why I don't do money with this show. Partly that, partly because I don't want to be fucking dealing with IRS. I don't want to be dealing with taxes. I don't want to be dealing with anybody saying, hey, I've been contributing all this money. You should do it my way. Fuck you. This is my show. I'm doing it my way. Plus, anybody can do this on a shoestring budget. Look at what we can do.
Money was originally a promise. Okay. Money was back before money, there was the barter system. Somebody wanted something. Somebody else had something to give for that something, and they would trade. But the problem that they constantly ran into, just like you constantly run into the barter system, even if you still try to use it today, is that eventually you're going to have people who get together and go, listen, I am going to need something from you, but I just can't use it right now. I can use it later, but I don't want to give you this and not receive what I need later. So they came up with basically promissory notes or money. They started assigning values to things.
Before the promissory notes, it was coinage, and it's like a standardized medium of exchange. So previously in the barter system, if you've got, as I've come up with, so chickens is an example. If you've got like 100 chickens, but no one wants chickens at the moment, then you're screwed. Yeah. But if you've got a universal medium of exchange, then you're no longer reliant on having to barter like different products, or different items or skills or whatever on a barter system whose value individually may change a lot. Obviously, the prices can change, but you've no longer got to figure out like the conversion rate of like goats to chickens to cattle to corn to whatever else.
Right, but it wasn't just that either. They ended up, we as a whole, humanity as a whole, ended up not only using it as a promise for services, goods, and things rendered, but also as a means of communication. We have put messages in our money, figureheads that are relative to our societies that we feel are important. I mean, look at Europe. They've got, instead of just putting presidents on theirs, they put science, historical figures that have had massive impact on not only their own society, but societies across the world, and not just in the political arena, but other places too.
People couldn't even tell you what president is on their currency. I mean,
yeah, and truth be told, that's far more window dressing than anything else. It doesn't really matter what's on there other than the fact that it's an official piece that is sanctioned, that's accepted as the real McCoy, so to speak, that other people will accept also on, please forgive me, on face value. So yeah. What the window dressing itself is really immaterial other than a point of it can become a collectible item which works to the advantage of the minting group because they've put out a product that gets sold. Yes, you can actually sell money. That's what loans are. You're selling money. And before anybody gives me shit about that one, that's the way it was explained to me when I was working at a bank. I still don't fully get it. Fuck y'all because I'm breaking my brain again. Moving on. The problem with the money thing is that one of the things it shouldn't be is it shouldn't be a cover-up, and that's part of where I'm going on that one. The Holy Roman See has used it as hush money. As part of that 4 billion expected number has been hush money to tell people it's okay, you don't need to worry about this. We'll take care of you. Here's a couple of dollars, $100, $1,000, tens of thousands of dollars. Just don't bring the police into this all and sign this little silence agreement so that you don't tell anybody, and we can sue you into the ground if you tell anybody, like the police, for instance.
That's actually legally binding, that kind of thing?
Well,
you can make a legally binding agreement that for example, non-disclosure agreements.
Diddling?
In a way, or to some degree, it doesn't matter if it's legally binding. It's the fact that it's a tool for exerting pressure on someone not to report.
Yeah, especially when the person's in a bad way. You know, if somebody's $50,000 in debt and you've just wronged them and took advantage and said, hey, you know, we'll give you $50,000 to shut up. You know, not only are you, you know, bribing, but you're going, that is just so sleazy and slimy.
I believe the word you're looking for is extortion.
Mm-hmm. I just want to take people like that and, you know, throw them in the sewer.
Sure. You know what, Heretic Woman, only because I think this is probably a good piece for you. How about let's go over to let's see about a non-monetary piece of coercion, of expectations of things going nicely if you toe the party line.
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about Bangladesh for a couple of seconds.
Yes. So, of course, over there, if you are secular and you speak out, you could get hacked to death. But if you shut the fuck up and pretend along with everybody else, then theoretically no one will bother you. It's fucking ridiculous. I think I mentioned in the summertime that there was a fellow who had escaped here. He'd only been here a couple of weeks, and he had come to our meetup, and we'd been able to meet him and talk with him and whatnot. They were even after, because he co-wrote a book with Avjit Roy, the first publicized writer that was killed. And this fellow's wife, she did was illustrate the book, and they were out for her too. And at that point, she was pregnant in Bangladesh without him. Happy to report that they were reunited in Canada a few weeks later. So that is good.
We have Rick Badawi in Canada?
No, we do not. He is still. And just this week, those fucks in Saudi Arabia have sentenced a Pakistani poet to death for blaspheming Islam and being apostate. That came across my news feed this week.
So wait. A poet is a national threat in that country?
Yes. Well, we're all terrorists, you know. Saudi has this summer officially declared that any atheist is actually a terrorist. But yeah, a fucking poet needs to be killed because he was critical and probably doesn't believe in Islam. Like, don't even get me started with that shit. Yeah. Saudi is like... ISIS is bad, but Saudi actually, from what I can understand, and I don't have any hard numbers in front of me, but I do believe they actually behead more people than fucking ISIS, and everybody's kissing their goddamn ass because they have oil.
I recently heard that if you call them, it's spelled in English,
Daesh. Daesh. Daesh.
I really hate that.
That's what I always call them.
I'm not calling them ISIS anymore.
Yeah, Daesh.
Daesh.
Yeah, fuck you, Daesh. And fuck you, Saudi, because you suck.
Yeah, Joey, you've got something that you're going to say.
As a graphic designer, the biggest WTF moment for me was to find out that ISIS actually has an in-print magazine. And we're not just talking, you know, somebody's notebook paper pamphlet. I mean, we're talking, you know, on par with Time with articles and photographs, not exactly family-friendly photographs, but...
I saw that.
That was like, okay, who the hell is paying for that one?
ISIS. They've got a lot of money behind them.
Not anymore. Yeah. They are actually, the majority of the money that they have used thus far was acquired through quite literally bank robbing. Robbing the Iraqi banks that they had looted during their takeover. And that money's running out, and they are running out of money to pay their soldiers.
Oh, good.
Well, luckily they pop them up on, like, amphetamines and stuff like that, so they forget things like that.
And then convince them to blow themselves up, because, you know, who needs to pay dead people?
Actually, that one I'm going to have to correct you on, Tech.
Okay.
Because, Tech, not you.
Oh.
Because they actually have... Yes, this is ISIS we're talking about. ISIS has been waging a war on drugs as well. Granted, theirs is a little bloodier than ours.
Yeah.
Well, imagine just a little bit so. And, you know, since we hit this one now anyway, I might as well get it out of the way. I was actually going to hold it over to a little bit later and in the closing and whatnot. But anyway, for us, of course, as was mentioned, as of the recording of the show, it is now 3 years, 5 months, 5 days since Raif Badawi was incarcerated, and we're still waiting on you. We have still got a spot open for you whenever. Really looking forward to that. Anyway, let me go back onto this for a couple more moments, because we got a little bit more to go. Even though I'm really sleep deprived, and I'm really trying hard. This money, Bridget, you'd mentioned it, and let me kind of swing back around to that one in a second. You said that there was a couple of folks that were supposed to have been going through therapy, was supposed to have been paid for by the Catholic Church, and they just stopped. Was there any rationale given?
Not really. They had been paying for therapy for, you know, 3 or 4 months, and then just decided that they weren't going to pay anymore, even though it was court-ordered that they were to pay for it. And I'm not sure if it was the diocese or, you know, his particular church. I don't know those details. But it was, you know, four of his patients.
What do you want to bet? Either they're going to say, well, if you just, you know, pray more and come to Mass, that'll be what you need. Or they'll come forward and say, well, you know, we've got this church-affiliated therapist that, you know, is much more affordable or some bullshit like that.
Well, you know, in the words of Amish Wolverine, we've got this book...
Yes.
Actually, the piece that I'm worried about is something even far and away more sinister than that. I'm afraid that the rationale is going to be what we can do is simply let them take us back to court and let them spend the money in order to get the money, because it's going to cost them 10 times more in legal fees, so why would they bother? Therefore, it's a war of attrition.
That could be too.
I could see those fuckers doing that too.
Mm-hmm.
And people with the money always win, because all they have to do is threaten a court case, and that's enough to shut them up.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. Bridget.
Oh, look at the Scientologists.
Yeah.
Well, they use a court system to shut up how many people?
Not as many as they used to.
Right, because they've got failing memberships, more people are on to them now, you've got other religions fighting against them in a court of law, and that's like the big part right there, is that you have primary religions shooting them down.
Yeah.
It's
not a matter of fighting over...
And tune in to Beyond the Trailer Park on Monday night when we're going to talk all about it with our Scientology friend.
Yeah. Wow. And this is a really good example where massive amounts of publicity through HBO's going clear through... throughout the media, throughout the court system, where in a number of countries, Scientology's basically been defined as organized fraud, and they've lost tax exemptions. They're losing members left, right, and center. They're losing money.
They're hemorrhaging.
They're hemorrhaging everything. So the kind of pressure can work. With larger churches, like attendance has been operational, has been falling for some time, and hopefully at some point this will really bite into the Catholic Church as well.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. I mean, sooner or later, there's only so many low-hanging fruit you can go after before you have to completely chop down a big-ass tree. Mm. And yes, that's another Minecraft reference, because I've been playing around with that kind of thing. There's a story behind it all. I promise I'll tell you about it later.
Get rid of that over yet?
Yeah, and unfortunately, their budget gives them the power of pulling the awful kind of stuff that they have been, and like Bridget said, with like stopping payments that are court ordered, because they can afford to tie it up in court a lot longer than the victim can.
And you know, think of it this way.
If they didn't have the budget to do that to them, any court case would seriously hurt them, where it's, you know, it's not doing at the moment.
But consider this. So if that's what they're doing, if they're deliberately defying the court order so that they'll have to go back to court and spend the money that way, how sick is that? When they're going to be out the money regardless, and their choice is to fuck over a victim other than help someone, even though they're supposed to have superior morals.
Yeah, well, no morals without religion.
Two words, yeah. Kim Davis.
Yeah.
I think at the beginning of the show is one that I haven't met as recently covered as well. The U.S. Council of like Catholic bishops, and this has been endorsed like from Rome as well. Released a, like an anti-pornography report or rant on there, and I've only heard about this briefly before the show, so I'm only about five pages into it. So, but it shows a completely warped view of human nature and sexuality, deeply homophobic from the start, and it's on there, and it's campaigning. There's a couple of beautiful quotes which I've posted in the chat for the panel about saying how priests are seeing deeply damaged children are being by pornography and losing their innocence. About then they go on to say about people who feel deep guilt and shame because of you know, pornography. And it's like guilt and shame are your whole
because
deal.
Because you the Catholic Church. Fucking caused it. And
one of the priests...
Go ahead.
I like how one of the priests blamed the little children. That's the little children's fault that they're getting molested because so innocent.
Absolutely. And if they're going to go on about children looking at pornography, you know, when children look at pornography is when some fucking adult is treating them inappropriately. That's when children look at pornography. So if they're damaged, then I'm thinking the pornography is probably secondary as to why they might be looking at the fucking pornography in the first place. Because
They would have also gotten a hold of mommy or daddy's computer, and the history of the web browser wasn't cleared.
But that's not the same, and I know that from experience. Because when you're curious and you like, I mean, I was looking at the National Geographic in my closet that I found the one with the naked Papua New Guinea tribe, and you know, look, naked people. That's a whole lot different than a child who, according to this report, is quote damaged and experiencing all of these like guilt and remorse feelings. That's a whole other ball of wax.
Okay, very quickly, Chris.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, what I was going to say was I don't want to go too much further down this particular portion of it. It is definitely something that I want to end up talking about again in the future because, you know, porn is fun. But I don't want to go down there the way that we are ill prepared for this one simply because we've all right, let me backtrack a little bit and slow myself down because I'm running way too fast on this. We have talked about during some of the after shows the ideas of talking about stuff like this, but to see about having somebody who would be in a much better position to talk through from an expert's point of view. For instance, if memory serves, Dr. Daryl Ray is a name that's been floated out there as a possible guest host to talk about this kind of thing. So I'm not putting the kibosh on this. It's just this is another one of those things that we should really hold on to for later. But there is still a piece about this that hurts that still goes along with the overall topic, which is these guys are trying to say what you're doing is wrong and bad, okay? And completely glossing over the fact that, well, people in their employ have been not using porn theoretically, or at the very least have been generating their own first person.
Yep.
And especially with minors.
Yeah. If I go back and say this is by far from Catholic Church, although they're because they're so big and it's been so widespread and they've run so many institutions and had so much access to children over the years. In any, this links back to the taxation thing, and lack of accountability. Where you have any kind of organisation on a scale where you have vulnerable people, whether it's children, the elderly, people with disabilities or various difficulties in their life, and you have zero accountability, then someone is going to take advantage of that, and there is going to be abuse.
Absolutely.
And you have to, in order to avoid this as far as possible, and prevent it, any organization needs policies in place, methods of dealing with it, and it's probably not an easy thing to think through setting it up. But if you just brush it under the carpet, try and shame victims, coerce, bribe them, ostracize them, or whatever, then the problem is not going to go away. And I've been flicking through several sections of the Australian Royal Commission report into institutional sexual abuse. And it's seen with pretty much every religious group, whether it's like Jewish schools, Catholic institutions, you name it, madrasas, whatever. It's all the same situation. It's for the good image and name of the community, or to avoid getting the police or the media involved, victims are ostracized, shamed, coerced, bribed, whatever else to get them to keep quiet. And the people responsible are left in their positions or moved into a position where they've got equal or more access to vulnerable people. Even I've on this week I've been to a Skeptics in the Pub talk given on the subject of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they covered some of the statistics and stat rates and the history of the organization. But there is starting to come out now organizations like this that deal with alcoholics or people with substance abuse problems, where essentially it's a voluntary group that's basically independent, run by someone with no qualifications and very little training, and kind of sexual abuse and inappropriate behavior goes on all the time, and they have some degree of self-policing where like members will step in and do and deal with it on an internal basis, but you can't rely on that.
Yeah, that's
and it's so.
Yeah, I was going to say that's one of the things that I want to. By the way, John, I'm actually going to be tackling your final question in my closing remarks. Mm. I think what I want to get us finishing out with is this self-regulation thing.
Mm.
I mean, that's arguably the hardest part about this whole damn thing in order to take a peek and find out what's really going on.
Mm.
Because it's written as part of the what you're supposed to and not supposed to do in various holy books. You're not supposed to tell on this. You're supposed to tell on this, but only in specific situations. If you're raped in the city and you don't yell loud enough, well, fuck you. That's it.
Too bad. So sad.
Yeah, doesn't matter. It's all done. And you know, you can get hacked to pieces and pieces of you thrown out for to the corners of the country. It doesn't matter. We've got that going on, especially with the church.
And denying that you're a problem is one of the worst things. That there's a problem is one of the worst things you can possibly do.
Yeah, victim blaming. So it's a twofer at this point. Mm. I'm going to throw this over for you guys entirely to play off of this one because I want you guys to have the chance on this one because John has put out a question, just so everybody understands. John put a question in the Q&A that says, is it worth helping someone? I'm going to tackle that one as my closing. But this whole piece about the victim blaming and the self-regulation and self-reporting, I'm going to give you guys full rein to go ahead and play off of that one. However, whatever angle you want to take it on at this point. Joseph, did you want to lead off, or would you like to pass it off to somebody else for the showcase showdown at this point?
my angle on this, it's a huge topic, so.
Oh, I know.
I'm happy to step in. Okay, so another great example where self-regulation and not regulating properly has worked out really well over recent years is in the banking industry. On there, following the financial crisis, and large organizations, if it's going to cost them money to do something right, and it often does, then they will only do it if they have to. On there because they've got to watch their bottom line. And individually, people within the organization may want to do the right thing, but don't. But they have a great thing in the ranking rules here on reporting financial crime, is that if you fail to report financial crime through the appropriate bodies, then you're deemed responsible. And the definition is, if a reasonable person would have been aware of something going wrong, and then you're responsible, and it's like under like aiding and abetting, failure to report things, and these offences carry hefty fines and in some cases lengthy prison sentences. I think the same kind of thing need to be applied to any organization that deals with vulnerable people in any way on there, and that if you do not report your suspicions for investigation to an appropriate body, such as like the police or a body set up for that purpose, then you should be held responsible for it and charged and prosecuted. And it's only when enough people saying, right, if I know so-and-so is abusing kids and I don't report it, I'm going to jail.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're a priest.
Yeah,
no, but it needs to crack down, and then brings in with like the taxation thing. There's no accountability for the money. There's no idea where it's being spent. That kind, bringing in a kind of culture of accountability and responsibility, I think, would be a great thing for so many organizations.
Well, the church doesn't have to be accountable.
About the whole self-governing thing, and you know, they try and make a case for, you know, well, we're this big institution and we should be able to self-police and all of that. Okay, so you're the ones that say you can't have morality and you can't have a code of ethics without the Bible. Well, your fucking Bible doesn't say anywhere don't fuck kids. It, in fact, it encourages it in some ways, and it's got all kinds of other nasty shit. But this is where you get your rules from. This is what tells you how to operate, and you don't have don't fuck kids in your book. So why the hell would anyone want to let you govern yourself when your own damn laws don't even prohibit what we have a problem with?
By the way, Christians and Catholics, your book? Yeah. No. Guess who else's book has the same thing? The Quran.
Yes. Exactly.
You want Tech, if there's anything else you want to add on to at this point, here's your big opportunity.
It's just... It's... The level of self-inflicted, willful ignorance of what's going on with the people who practice these religions, the people who look up to their religious leaders, the actions that their religious leaders take. Oh, well, you know, we can forgive that our religious leader just sexually molested 20 kids, and one of them might even have been their own, because they said that they prayed really, really hard, and they felt that God forgave them, and yeah, it's okay now. You know, they fucked up that kid's life, but it's okay now. because God forgave them. I'm sorry, but people like that honestly should not be allowed to vote. They really shouldn't.
It's like, I would say, was it Dearborn, was it Michigan? Was in the news recently. The whole town came out in virtually in support of religious leader there who's been raping, abusing people for 20 years or so.
Oh, geez, I hadn't heard
and they're saying, you know, because of his good conduct and standing in the community and whatever, they've been writing letters to the judge asking for him to be let off, and they're shaming and blaming the victim, and it's, but fuck them.
Yeah.
How about that that judge who let the, I can't remember if it was a priest or what the person's level was, but they basically let the guy go for, you know, pedophilia because the bad press that he was getting, the judge felt that the bad press the guy was getting was more than enough punishment. It's like, excuse me, if you catch an average person committing pedophilia, they typically lock you up and you end up getting shanked in prison. Okay? Yeah. And they get plenty of bad press before they go to jail. In fact, they get plenty of bad press even if they're innocent and they've been falsely accused. Okay?
Yes.
This guy wasn't falsely accused. Okay? This guy was found guilty. But because he received so much bad press, and because he was such a outstanding member of their community, I'm sorry, last time I checked, somebody went around molesting other people's children is not an outstanding member of community. They might be an outstanding member of incarceration if they're not locked up soon enough. But, I'm sorry. When did PR become a punishment?
Here, upstanding member of the Pedophilia Hall of Fame, or, you know, NAMBLA member of the month or some shit. But,
you know, I thought the current Pope was okay. You know, the guy's trying to make some changes. You know, he's saying some really nice things. It'd be nice to see him act upon them. He's going around. Oh, he seems to be doing some good things. He's like, he's full of shit.
Yeah, words are cheap, low tech.
I think most people who are put in prison for child molestation, things like that, I mean, they are the lowest of the low, even among murderers and things, but aren't they usually kept separate from the general population for that reason?
They have to now. They definitely have to be now, because general population will just
kill them. They'll be dead within a year.
They'll torture them. They'll torture them before they kill them.
Was there anything else you wanted to add on to that at this point, Bridge?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, if you have something in mind, I can riff on it.
It was just a matter that I wanted to make sure that we give Joey an opportunity of whatever it is that he might want to try to get in there, because, you know, with how the microphone situation is, I want to try to make sure that we've got our point out of the way first to try not to interfere with his being able to talk to us at this point. That's why I wanted to make sure you were good so far. Okay.
All right, Joey.
And Joey is just going ahead and give me the text that he's good anyway, so that's fine. Did I get everybody at this point that needed to have their point in?
I don't know if we've addressed the question about is it worth helping someone.
No, that's my piece.
All right,
that's
what
I'm closing with.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going to pick us up at this point. Is it worth helping someone? That's a broad question. There's a lot of pieces that in such a simple question can be brought into. It depends on who you're asking. Is it worth helping someone? According to various holy texts, the Bible in particular, at least most of the translations, it depends as to who it is. If it's a woman, generally speaking, kinda, yeah, but it costs silver. If it's somebody who is living on the outskirts of your city, state, yeah, kind of. Unless, of course, you know, you conquered them, in which case you, it's not worth keeping them because you're supposed to run them through unless they're, you know, young and female.
Virgins. And virgins.
Yeah. They're money. They're a commodity. They're something to keep. Is it worth helping someone? I would say, and I speak not as an atheist, as a human. So I guess technically as a humanist. Fuck yes. Not just yes, but fuck yes. And I'll tell you why. What would it be like if everybody had the attitude of, why help anybody? Or more specifically, I'm not going to help anybody. There's a word for that.
Republican. And...
now you're leading the bit. No, actually not.
You win.
You win all the things.
There is an actual word for it. And it is a term that is a concept that, believe it or not, as much as people like to bandy it around, it doesn't exist. And the term is anarchy. Anarchy is a concept that cannot and does not exist. And I'll tell you why. Because as soon as people go down the road of what is otherwise considered anarchy, you have a form of government start. Because if I'm in it for me and I'm stronger than you, my rule overloads yours. You don't have anarchy. You do what I tell you to do, or I hurt you. That's called dictatorship.
It also tends to lead to despotism.
Yes. Is it worth helping someone else? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely it is. Because if you succeed because I can help you to succeed, then if I did nothing, I would be the only one to succeed, and you would not. That benefits me only in so much as that there are others. There could probably be many others who would not be as successful as I if I were just looking out for me. And eventually there becomes more and more and more people who are not as successful as I. And then the numbers tilt. And then the balance shifts. Because, as the expression goes, what would you rather fight? The question is, would you rather fight a Doberman's weight in Chihuahuas?
Mm-hmm.
Or just one Doberman? It's a stupid question. It's something that's been out there on the internet for a long time. For a long time.
Yeah, the one that I saw was 65 tons of puppies or 65 tons of one Abrams tank.
So
how about both, and then we blow up the puppies with the tank?
No.
Here's what it comes down to. If I have enough to help and I'm not affected negatively by it and I help someone else, we both succeed. It doesn't have to be a lot, but if somebody is able to succeed enough that they can help someone else, chances are they will probably do it too. Because they figure, I was helped out, I feel good that I was helped out. I can help somebody too.
You're talking about altruism.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what it is. Yeah. Altruism is in our makeup, and I don't say our as in human. I mean our as in DNA-based life. It's in there. Rats have shown it. Monkeys, apes have shown it. Primates have shown it. Animals that don't have an actual language that we have been able to discern have shown it. And is it worth helping? I ask you instead the philosopher's question. Why not? As always, everyone, thank you very much for being with us for this show. We, of course, feel that all of our perspectives are worthy and worthwhile, and we hope that you found something worthy and worthwhile in it. I'm going to change out my usual closing out with everybody, of course, just to make it a little bit easier. Joseph, I would normally get you first, but to make sure that everybody understands who I'm hitting first, because we've got two of you, Joey. Be safe out there. Thank you very much for taking the time out, and I hope the folks over there at Tim Hortons haven't been too upset with your taking time with them.
Well, no, they love me here. But I feel, you know what, we have to have Power of 10 again next week, because I did not get all the venom out of my system tonight.
As soon as I figure out what the topic is going to be, I'll let you know, and maybe we'll do that. And fuck you. You lost your opportunity. You had to go out and drive because, you know, fucking family and shit. So, you know, thank you. You're number one, too, in my book.
He could have done it from his cell phone in his car.
No. We didn't. No.
I've done that. Yes. I went out clubbing, and I took the time away from having a good time.
No, go in the
car.
Tech, we have done the whole call in from a phone on our other show way back when. I even did almost, you know, your on-site newscaster kind of thing, news reporter. And it how well did it work, Shu?
Does WKRP in Cincinnati ring a bell?
Cincinnati.
How's the weather out there, Ollie? It's raining sideways. Do you have an umbrella?
Turkeys.
It's raining turkeys, is exactly right.
It's cold as shit.
Do you have an umbrella? Had one. Where is it? Inside out, 2 miles away.
I'd rather be raining men.
We'll see what we can do about that. In all seriousness, Joey, you take good care of yourself, man. Safe travels out there on the roads, huh?
I haven't burnt out the clutch yet, so hopefully that holds out.
So long as that doesn't happen, that's cool. Just don't call me at 3:00. Yes?
Unfortunately, having just looked at the weather report, what are they calling this? Winter Storm Bella?
Oh.
Of course. Has been sweeping through. Has been sweeping through. You know, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, and all that. And it's heading down this way.
Your ass right now,
I've got
stuck.
Bella's birthday cake song running through my head.
That's great. All right, Joey, you take very good care of yourself. Don't worry about burning out the clutch. I'm just worried about you calling me at 3:00 in the morning saying that you blew a seal. And really, in the snow, I don't know how you'd be able to find a seal and all of that. Joseph, thank you very kindly for your time this morning. You have a good Sunday.
Just fix it.
Thank you, sir.
Calls me sir. Chris, you also think... Oh, wait a minute. Wait, back up. Joseph, do you have anything that you should be plugging right about now?
Like a tailpipe?
I'm not a terrorist.
You know, whoever said that butt pirates are automatically terrorists.
Yeah, well, I thought it was going to be a joke about burning my lips on the tailpipe, but
I should.
You're using the wrong part of your anatomy.
So do you have something to plug?
Yeah. Atheist Apocalypse. New episode just out.
And where do we find it?
atheistapocalypse.com. No.
Yes. Yes. That would be it.
Is that okay? Just so you know, from now on you can just say find it in the show notes, because I'm putting them in there as a standard thing now.
Are we gonna have to rehearse this ahead of time, or?
We'll rehearse.
Yeah, it. like the show itself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Chris, you're gonna want to do that soon, by the way.
Yeah, we'll work on that. Chris, thank you very kindly. Have a good morning. Thank you very much. I hope that you don't run out of rolling papers. Deuteronomy, I heard, is really good for that.
Oh, no, Leviticus.
Deuteronomy. No, I'm good.
Shit. Whoa, wait a minute. Bring that back up a second. Guys, is it me, or is that McMorgan Moore there?
It is too.
On the exact
costume.
There you go. No, I'm good for rolling papers. It's been great to be here again, guys. It's a really interesting topic. I'm looking forward to whatever you got planned for next week, Shujin.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon, Shujin, but I think you mispronounced his name.
I don't think that I did, and you can't scroll back to find out, because I don't, I'm not going to get this.
That's his name.
My name.
You're welcome.
That's not
my name.
Jack, thank you very kindly, of course. Have a good morning.
Yeah, it's a little late for that. It really is.
Oh, one and, tequila, two tequila,
yeah.
Three tequila, floor.
Yeah. And by the way, Joey, if anybody gives you any crap for blowing a seal, just tell them to fix the damn thing and keep their thoughts out of your love life.
Yes, and right about now, Joey is working on the try not to smile contingent.
Hey, guess what, Tech? I'm in Ohio right now. Mike Kermit is good.
Hey, if you make your way over to Maryland, I'll buy you a beer, man.
Maryland doesn't even require a map.
Anybody
require a what?
A permit.
Yeah, come down to Northern Kentucky and I'll buy you a beer.
Anybody who would go to Maryland deserves a beer.
Hey, man. Come to Maryland, I'll buy you a beer. You get either a burger or a really good lobster tail, you know, whatever the case you want.
That's what they call it there.
Anyone who would go to Maryland of their own volition doesn't need a beer. They need a psychiatrist.
I didn't go to Maryland of my own volition. I was originally dragged here, and I've been stuck here ever since.
Well, we'll see.
The only reason I can't get out right now is because my custody case has been... Maryland's been determined by the custody case to be his residential state, and until he either is with me full-time, full residential status, and more than 50-50 legal, or he turns 18, I can't really move out of the state, because if I do, that gives her an excuse to have the case moved to her state, in which case my custody agreement will get screwed. I will get screwed royally.
Yes,
I'm kind of stuck here.
Keep hoping for the best for you. In case, finishing over, Bridget, thank you very kindly for your time. You stay warm out there and be careful on the road eventually.
I don't want snow.
I love snow.
It's okay.
You can have ours.
Great. I'll come outside and we'll make some snow cones and we'll pour sugar and syrup, flavor syrups on it, and we'll have a great time.
Talk about that. Nothing for you to plug at this point, then, Bridge?
Not right now.
Not yet. All right. Well, see.
She's already full.
Yes, Heretic Woman.
Hello.
Plug all of the things, and please remember that at least one of your shows is currently in the rotation for the show notes that I'm making a standard thing from now on.
Yay! Basically, just Beyond the Trailer Park, Monday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. As I mentioned earlier this week, we're talking to our ex-Scientology friend, Rob Robertson. Lisa Remini just released her new book. Leah Remini. My apologies. I wasn't a King of Queens watcher, but she just released a book talking about her life in Scientology. She was actually raised in Scientology and left just over 2 years ago. So we're going to discuss the new book and any other interesting things happening in the world of batshit nuttery that passes for religion. So that's Monday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And as Joseph said, Atheist Apocalypse is dropping a new episode on Monday. If you're a patron, you probably already have listened to it, but it's coming out. And we're excited because we're going to be starting to record season 2 already. So that's going to be really cool. And I was noticing in our internal chat here, there was some discussion about God and who had the bigger penis. And I'm sorry, I win. So that's my competition. So other than that, I think...
Heretic?
Yes. Yes.
You're wrong.
Oh. That's quite the claim that he's going to have to substantiate someday.
Because even Ron Jeremy's not that big.
Hold on. Yes. Well, what have you got, Joey?
Whoa. Hold on. Hold on a moment. We are never bringing up Ron Jeremy. I'm sorry. I got forced to watch that Wrecking Ball video. Never again.
But he was wearing clothes. I was actually quite disappointed that he wore clothes, considering, but yeah. Whatevs. But if you're going to make that claim, Joey, someday you're going to have to substantiate that. I'm
Pixar,
just
it didn't happen.
Yep.
Make you a pot.
Internet rule 34, Pixar, it didn't happen.
Yep, and I got picked.
Buy me a drink first.
That's fine. You're still going to have to prove it.
That can be arranged.
Yep.
So, Beyond the Trailer Park, besides that...
That's good for now.
Okay, fair enough. As a last item, by the way, I want to make sure that folks are aware, as of the recording of this show, the last information I have that I have seen so far is that ReasonCon 2016 is not going to happen.
What?
Because Reason, if I remember
Reason,
right.
Reason Rally, you mean?
Wait a second. ReasonCon is the one in Hickory, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Gene just posted a link to ReasonCon 4 or 3. Okay. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Okay, never mind.
Okay, because the last information that I've read is that ReasonCon 2016 is not going to have happened and is going to be pushed back to 2017 because the Reason Rally is going to be very close in onto that. I do not have plans at this point of going there for that particular event just because of how huge the previous was. I don't feel at all comfortable enough with taking myself and my daughter for this thing, and I'm not going to risk that one.
Yeah, I'm not going either.
Okay. If memory serves, PastaCon is going to be in... Oh, anybody know where that's supposed to be this particular 2016?
They're taking it back up to Omaha.
But okay. Wait a minute.
The one in Pennsylvania.
That PastaCon, not a PastaCon.
No, PastaCon.
PastaCon's usually in Harrisburg or Pittsburgh, isn't it?
Well, they go from Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, and Philly, and I don't remember where they're going to be in 2016.
I'll find that out for you all, Esperanto. Well,
could you imagine having PastaCon right next to GarlicCon?
I was going to say, I have another suggestion, because there's a certain heathen wedding going to be happening that the bride and groom have said should basically be an atheist convention. So there is that.
This is true. Bobby C. and Ms. Ashley are getting married. And all I can say is, ask you, Bobby. You know, good on you. You're marrying up.
And if you want some entertainment, check out their show from last Sunday, especially the comment section that should still be there on Spreaker, where a bunch of us discuss what we're going to do to Bobby's mom. Mm.
Oh, yes.
Bobby's mom has got it going on.
No. See, the problem of it was, Bobby was outed to his mom in the heat of a discussion, and he did not appreciate that one bit. But,
this gets better, because when they told Bobby's mom that they were getting married, she, in all seriousness, looked at Bobby with Ashley sitting right next to her and said, "Run!"
Oh my.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're talking about having a relay race at the wedding, with, you know, Bobby basically running away from his mother. But yeah, Corinne and I, we are talking about, we called dibs on sitting next to Bobby's mom for the festivities. So we'll see how that plays out.
How about pin the tail on the jackass?
That came up. That absolutely, although then it turned into pin the penis on Bobby's mom. So go read the chat.
Well, if you know anybody that has a Prince Albert, you could probably do that.
Actually, the way that you're describing it, hon, I was thinking that it was going to be a more matter of whoever's sitting next to her gets to have the extra roll of duct tape to keep refreshing it every time it starts coming up.
Corinne and I are looking into where we can get some nice water bottle party favors.
That was October 1st, is that right?
That is correct.
I might have October. To do that.
Yep. Okay.
And,
yes, Joey. Yes, Joey.
Joey's coming.
You're holding it wrong. You're supposed to grip it more firmly about the base.
Well, I've got a cock ring for that.
For those of you that are listening on the podcast feed, you're going to have to go and fast forward through the video in order to figure it out. And I'm sorry.
Joey's got it right. Work the shaft.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Now all I can hear in my head is don't whack it to go, whack it to go, whack it to go, whack it to go.
Hey, heretic woman.
Some people get it. Some people need to watch more sparkly hand power.
More. I'm almost there.
Yeah. Well, I got that too.
That's good.
Darn. Keep on my lotion.
Okay. And, okay.
Then just do a dry rub.
Talk about that later.
I'll get the salt and Cajun seasonings.
I'll get that in a second. Bridget. We're gonna finish this. Bridget, did you come up with anything as far as to PastaCon?
No, Brian is not online right now, but I left him a message, and that's his baby, so he'll respond back. He should know.
Sure, somebody will figure it out. Anyway, we'll figure it out from there.
We'll figure it out.
Yep. As a last item, just before we get out of here, as I've mentioned, next week Thursday is Thanksgiving here in the United States. It was several weeks ago for Canada, but in any case, many people have said that Thanksgiving is one of the best holidays, it is almost entirely an atheist's wonderland, because what are you going to do? Oh, thank God for being us here. Yeah, that's all nice. That's a nice sentiment, but this has got nothing to do with any of that. So you want to have your feeling about that, that's fine. But this is all about having. There are a lot of people who don't. If nothing else, this holiday season, as it starts up, give 10 seconds of your time. If you see somebody who looks like they could use it, just say, excuse me, I just wanted to give you a handshake because you looked like you could use it. It doesn't cost you anything. You don't need a receipt to return it. It's always the right size.
Unless it's Heretic Woman, and then you have to make sure she's washed her hand first.
Fist bump, then.
You know, there's something else, too. You know, almost every town has some form of shelter or soup kitchen or any number of places like that. And, you know, your one Google search, we have the vast repository of the sum of human knowledge that's indexable, it's been indexed, it's searchable, it's readily accessible almost anywhere in the world. Go to Google, go to the maps, find your local shelter. You know, if you have a couple bucks to spare, walk over and say, hey, listen, you know, Thanksgiving's around the corner. I'm headed to the grocery store. Could you use an extra can of cranberry sauce? You know, do you need some gravy mix? You know, whatever. You don't have to go around telling people that you did it. You know, if you want to, go ahead, but you don't need to. You know, the people that you're going to benefit are the ones who you're probably not going to have the dinner with, but are going to be very thankful that you did it. And they may never even meet you. Okay. And it's just something very nice to improve somebody, you know, multiple people who are having a very bad time, and you just make it a little bit better for them. That whole thing about helping people that Sujin brought up, that little bit alone can improve somebody's life. You know, case in point, you know, there's a lot of people out there who maybe they can't eat the chicken or the turkey or whatever the meats are on the table. Maybe they can't for whatever reason. Get a little can of fish, you know? Get a can of salmon or some whitefish that's in water and donate it to them. Somebody will eat it. They will put it to use, you know?
And as a final, I want to also, I want to say to my wife, I'm sorry I haven't been able to do Thanksgiving. I still want to. I still intend to. But thank you for all of them that we were able to have and share. For all of you, of course, as always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. For those of you that are going to be going through the snow, please safe travels. Please safe travels. And, of course, Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. And right about now is where Dallin should be dropping in the background music as we go out. Until the next time we get together, everyone, of course, as always, happy Thanksgiving. Good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.